What is up, everybody? Welcome to episode 3 of The Christian Zookeeper. I'm your host, Tyler Stinchcomb, and today we have a real good one. It is a conversation I had with a good friend of mine, Ezra Gill. We just talk about the importance of zoos, and it's super fun. We get into a whole bunch of kind of random stuff too, which is super fun, talking about the dangers of chimps. It's awesome, so I hope you guys enjoy this one. Peace. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Christian Zookeeper podcast, whatever episode this ends up being. I believe it might be 2, but it could change. I have one of my best best friends, Ezra Gill from Miami. How you doing, Ezra?
What's up, guys? I'm happy to be on here on the Christian Zookeeper podcast.
And dude, I'm so stoked for you saying yes to come on here.
It was an honor, man. When you reached out to me and said, yo, we want to record an episode together about zoos, I'm like, I am so down for it. And, you know, I don't know as much about zoos as you do, but I do hold them to a very high regard. And I'm excited about the work you've been doing towards just zoos and with this podcast and everything.
We'll get into that more, too, because I want to know everything that you're all your thoughts and feelings about zoos, too. But I'm glad you said it up front. Like, Ezra is not a zookeeper, but I wanted his perspective on this podcast because I really value your opinion. I love you. You're one of my best friends. I love some of the things that you say, and you're just super fun to talk to. So I just wanted someone else to be there with me as I talk about one of my favorite topics, which is the importance of zoos and why I think they're so important and why we need them and why you should go to your zoos. But I do want to make it clear, like, not every zoo is equal. Not every zoo is good either. But right off the bat, man, I just want to ask you, do you like zoos?
Yeah, absolutely. I do enjoy zoos. It's so funny you mentioned that not every zoo is equal. So growing up, you know, like Kyla said, we grew up together and we grew up in our hometown in Michigan, and there was a nearby zoo about 30 minutes down the road that we would, that often it was like kind of the popular spot to go to. And it was a good zoo. It was actually like for, I mean, Tyler might say otherwise, but like, I think for the, for that area and that particular area of the state, they did really well with what they had and the resources that they were given.
I know exactly what zoo you're talking about. They don't have that much money, but they do okay.
But they do pretty well with what they got. And so growing up, that was really all I knew about zoos. And I would see stuff on TV about, like, you know, other zoos and everything, but I wasn't really sure about that. That all really changed, actually, when I moved down here to Miami. Like Kyla said, I moved down here, and I most recently went to Zoo Miami down here, one of the largest, one of the most incredible zoos in the world. And I went into it not really knowing what to expect. Tyler, have you been to Zoo Miami?
I have not, but one of my favorite hobbies, pastimes, is to go on zoos websites that I haven't been to and just stare at their maps and look at the exhibits and look at what animals they got. It's just fun.
And when I was there, Tyler, I was just like, man, if Tyler was here, I wish Tyler was here with me right now. He would be going nuts now. I was going nuts, man.
Did you go? Don't they have like a tunnel for, I think that's Zoo Miami, a tunnel for like alligators that you can go in and like an alligator can be above you?
I think that's one Miami. In Fort Lauderdale, or if it was there, well, it might have been Zoo Miami, because that's the thing is that, like I said, I was just used to the hometown zoo growing up that was like pretty small, honestly.
Yeah.
And when I go to Miami, the Zoo Miami, and it's literally like the day has gone by and I still haven't even seen all of it. And I'm so exhausted from walking around that there's so much, the collection and all the different species they have. And all that. The other thing about, about zoos in general that I like is all the information, education they have there, all the little panels that they have of info about the animals on their endangerment level, just all the biology and science behind it, all the research they're doing, which I think we'll get into later. But anyways, to answer your question, I do enjoy zoos.
This is a little off topic and something I wanted to ask later, but like, did you learn something on your like experience at Zoo Miami? Like, are you one that actually like will sit in front of the signs and read? Because most guests, I think there was like a study that Disney did that like the amount of time someone looks at a sign is like less than 3 seconds.
Really?
So it's like
Wow.
you gotta make your signs really pop, and that's why there's a lot of big letters of like dolphins swim, and like that's the one takeaway. Okay,
Dolphins
dolphins
swim.
swim,
Wow, I
and
thought
then
they
there's a
walked.
little
Like,
paragraph of yeah, they swim with their how they swim and how are they fast or whatever. But
wow,
are you a sign
dolphins
reader?
swim. Yes, I would say no. I
Okay.
would actually say that study definitely applied true for me for probably half of the signs I was reading. But the other half, I was definitely like into it. I think that's why it took me so long to go through the zoo, because I was like reading like every two, every two signs I would pass by, I would be like, I would have to read every word on it. And I remember being really interested in the reptiles, especially where they had all the snakes, all the alligators. I know Tyler used to own a snake. He used to own a lot of, actually,
Yeah,
a lot
you
of.
loved her, right?
Yeah, her name was Rachel. I just thought that was the funniest snake name in the world, Rachel. Like,
Did you ever hold Rachel?
I did very briefly. It was very small and slimy. Not slimy, but it
No,
was.
yeah, snakes aren't slimy. They're just scaly, and she's really smooth. She was a Kenyan sand boa. She was awesome.
But that was a small one. When I was in Zoo Miami, I'll never forget it. I'm looking at a boa, a really large snake. It's like in this enormous cage. And I'm seeing one of the zookeepers behind it opening up the door and replacing something, I think giving it some food or something. And I'm like freaking out, because like this snake has a body like, no, we're only recording audio right now, but Tyler can see it on the camera. It's like, it's this huge, massive body that probably has the strength and the agility to strangle you if it gets around your neck or something like that. But this the zookeeper was just like, it was just another Tuesday for them. It was just.
So one question I wanted to ask you, man, was like, and you might have already answered it in a way, but I just want to put it out there too. Like, as a Christian, how do you view zoos?
Yeah, so you have to understand, in the beginning of creation, in the beginning of all the world, God creates all these animals. He actually creates all the animals before he creates man, actually. That doesn't mean the animals are higher. In fact, actually, Bible says that that man is created in God's image, and we're called to tend, to rule, subdue the land. But I think part of ruling and subduing is to care for the creation that God made. And God made these animals for a reason. There's a reason that everything was made. Every mountain, every valley, and every living creature, even mosquitoes, for crying out loud. There's a reason God made those. Maybe it was for
Yeah.
bug spray. I don't know.
I don't know that
So
reason yet, but
we might never know until we get to
right.
heaven. But like,
Yep.
there's this hilarious little meme of like this like child who's like written a letter to God, and the letter says, "God, were giraffes supposed to look like that, or was that a mistake?" And as funny as that is, it's like, man, we serve, the creator of all creation. He doesn't make mistakes. He made giraffes like that for a reason. He made the lion. He made the bear. He made all the wild animals of the world, all the ones that I can't even name, like the okapi that I know Tyler loves, and
I
all
do like them. Yeah.
the amphibians and reptiles. He made that, and he breathed his life into them. And while they aren't made in the image of God like we are, they're God's creation. So clearly he cares for them, and we ought to care for them too. And I think zoos have a dual purpose. I think people should go, and they should visit their local zoo, or whatever zoo nearby, for two reasons. One, they're really fun. They make for a great day with a family. They make for a great date night. They make for just something unique and different, to look at something different and be able to open your mind to something. When you're looking at humans all day, now you get to look at some animals and actually be able to take something different. But the other thing about zoos is that they are meant for research, for preservation of species, for
Dude,
conservation.
look at you,
And
man. Dang, I'm surprised you know all this. Let's go.
Well, I mean, it's interesting, because like the zoos are not just there for your entertainment. Like, zookeepers aren't
Right.
going around like, what are the trending animals today? What should we be putting out for? Oh man, the monkey isn't trending anymore. We're gonna just go ahead and sell them. We're gonna replace it with a
Right.
platypus.
But
Like,
not everyone knows that. And most people do see zoos just as entertainment. And the zoo started only for entertainment.
interesting.
And it's just recently that they have changed. So, like, I guess I'll take though for like you're pro zoo then. you'd say.
Absolutely,
So
absolutely.
cool.
As a believer, but even just as just a as just a person, as a citizen of the United States, and as just like zoos are fun. Zoos are cool. Like, why
They
not?
dude, they are fun. And I don't know if I've told you my like perspective about like the importance of zoos, but like the way I see it, I don't like zoos. So hopefully no one like cuts that and then puts that on the internet. But I love zoos, but in a perfect world we wouldn't have them. And it says in Genesis we're supposed to look after the animals. But also man fell and man is just we're always seeking for power and we're always gonna look after ourselves first. And that's how the first zoos started. They were for power. They were menageries. They were rich people having tigers in a basement or hyenas in a cell.
It was kind of the circus scene.
Yeah, circus, but also like showing, like even in the movie Gladiator, they have like a hyena chained to a wall in like a mansion, and it's just those are and that is really common. There's a lot of Roman artwork of big cats chained to a wall in someone's massive house. And that's just the sign of like, I have power over this animal that if it wasn't chained to a wall, it would kill me. But because of me, it's chained to a wall. And like, that's kind of in a lot of like, I feel like guys at the core of like, I want power, I want to control something. And that's how Zeus started at first. It was a symbol of power and a symbol of ruling kind of. And like also then it became finances. It's like only the rich people can have animals anyways. And then you get into everything else that people have screwed up on this earth, whether that's destroying habitats and mining and poaching and killing a bunch of animals and getting them all extinct and all that. We get to the point now where we actually need zoos. Zoos have become from, and I've told other people, like I think no matter how you like just for the sake of like the conversation, if humanity was completely started over and you redid it over and over again, zoos would always happen. That's just how we are. Like I mentioned before, men are gonna want power and control over animals.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because animals are scary and fear, so you want to control that fear by chaining it to a wall or putting it in a concrete box that makes you feel
Right.
more superior than the animal because you can't control the animal.
It's the sin nature, yeah.
Yeah, so that was like how zoos started. And so now it's turned, and this was only recent, like 1900s, like recently, where zoos are trying to focus more on education. So education, I think, was like the first step. And I don't know if you've heard of what is it called? Oh, Ecker. It's like a zoo term. ECER. So that's like the main components of what zoos try to focus on with their education and just their mission statements. It's education, conservation, or no, entertainment's first. Entertainment, conservation, education, and research. Because zoos will always be entertainment, like you mentioned. Like it's just a good thing to do on a Sunday afternoon, take the kids to see some animals. But now zoos are trying to like, okay, how do we turn this entertainment into education? And then how do we turn the entertainment into something that the institution is actually supporting conservation? And then how do you have animals in this institution also contribute to research? And like zoos have done an incredible job in the last like the 100 years, completely changing their how they look. And there are still zoos that aren't great. And there's a lot of governing bodies that really control and help really help zoo hold zoos to really high standards. Like AZA is probably one you've heard me mention over the years, the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. I like to tell people, like, if you're going to go to a zoo, please research, like, if it's accredited. And if it's AZA or AZ or AZA or AAZ, so AZA or I'm forgetting the other ZAA, ZAA is the other one. AZA or ZAA are the two ones that, like, are good. And I've worked at both institutions or both accredited bodies, and like, I can tell you, like, from firsthand, like, they're awesome.
Right.
But there's a lot of, on top of US USDA like regulations for holding animals in the United States, there's also like you have those accreditation like standards, which are really high for USDA, but then above that is the ZAA and AZA. So if an institution has a ZAA or AZA accreditation, That means they went above and beyond USDA standards to reach a standard that's even higher, which is
Wow.
awesome. But so back to like the importance though of like, I think we do need them because they have saved so many species of animals, that
Yeah.
animals that have gone extinct in the wild, but because of captive populations that were in zoos, examples like California condors, Arabian oryx, black-footed ferrets, scimitar oryx, probably missed. Those are the real big, like famous examples. Oh, golden lion tamarins are another one, but they're really
I think I
famous
saw
examples
that
of.
one. I think I saw
Oh,
that one
maybe the
actually
little gold
in
little monkeys that are like
I think
football
so.
size.
Well, in Zoo Miami, actually, one of the things they were kind of if I perceived that as they were just kind of flexing, but I truly believe it was with good intention. They were kind of really showing off all of their highly critically endangered species. And they were kind of, putting that kind of on display and everything. And it really did make me think and realize just how important that the zoo is, that this animal that I'm looking at right now would not have come to pass. Like, this one is actually extinct in the wild. It's like, wait, there's no more of this left. Like, that's actually like that kind of like breaks me for a minute. And I do remember you telling me that, Tyler, a while ago about your viewpoint of, in a perfect ideal world, zoos wouldn't be necessary, but because of the fallen nature of mankind, we need the zoos to educate us and protect the animals.
And they're like, they're a security blanket too. So like if animals become extinct, what we can take from the captive population and put them back in the wild with, I mean, that's a long process, but it's possible. And then you can have the animal back in the wild. Like what's happened, which is awesome. And then,
Yeah.
and like on top of that too, it's just a lot of breeding programs. So I'm sure Zoo Miami had a lot of science about like breeding, or like SSPs is the MAZA term. It's called species survival plans.
Yes,
And
I did
yeah, they
read a
probably
lot
had
about
signs,
that.
and there's like a little rhino is the symbol of
Yep.
SSPs. A lot of zoos now have that, right? Like every exhibit where an animal is participating in a SSP. I had quotation marks up for participating because a lot of times an animal really doesn't have a choice to participate in or not, as us zookeepers are throwing in a mate and like, okay, time to breed. But I mean,
Yep.
in the wild, they would be looking for a mate anyways. But SSPs are basically, in like the most simple terms, they're like Tinder for animals. It's just a, someone
That's
is
one
a,
way to put it.
yeah, it, a, someone is just a stud book. They know all the animals in an AZA, in the AZA. So from every zoo that's accredited in the country, and then they can look at, okay, Tiger A in Milwaukee has great genes. Let's get him to Tiger B in Miami and get their babies because they're not related, and so they would make great babies. So,
Wow.
because that's a thing that's happened in the past too, of a lot of zoos would be like, hey, you got a tiger? Oh, we got a tiger. Let's make babies. And then later we're like, oh, those were brother and sister.
Right. Yeah,
Oops.
that's not
And then you
good.
have inbred animals that don't last long.
Yeah, no, that's definitely
So it takes a
unethical.
little work to make sure, because we want to make sure they're genetically viable in case they go out in the wild. We don't want to send out tigers with two tails and four eyes and crippling genetics
And I
out
think
in the
that's so
wild.
healthy, though, that zoos have like systems, they have practices, they have accountability. Like you were mentioning the AZA, because I think zoos are so important, and to do them right, there has to be some accountability. There has to be like zookeepers, need help, and they need guidance. They can't just be going doing things. Otherwise, like you said, we're going to be breeding brothers and sisters, or there's going to be some unethical practices that might be practiced, so we have to, there has to be accountability. There has to be, kind of I wouldn't say governing body, but there should be these systems. And, you were mentioning the USDA stuff, to help make sure that the zoos that we have here are ethical, that they're doing what they need to do, which is, like you said, it's entertainment, conservation, education. What was our
Research. Yeah.
research, and they're
But like
doing all those
again,
things.
yeah, I mean there are zoos though aren't like just most famously like the Tiger Keen. I can't even confidently say if that was even USDA regulated zoo. But I mean most I guess big If you have a big cat, you have to go through some work. But if you live in Texas, you can get anything. But
Wow.
most zoos, like, definitely do your research and go to like an AZA or a CAA zoo. And because they're AZA, on top of like the standards for animal welfare, they have to be participating in SSPs. They have to be breeding their animals for conservation purposes. They have to set aside money that goes into conservation projects out in the wild. So, like the zoo I work for currently, we support a ton of different conservation programs all throughout the world that is working in the fields to protect the animals that we are also exhibiting. And it's a cool, like, for education too. Zoos are like the only place where I've seen a tiger, and like, or the only place that I've seen a giraffe, because I haven't gone to Africa yet. I haven't been to Asia yet. So it's
Right.
awesome for me, as like, I've been in the United States my entire life, that I've gotten to see so many cool animals all throughout the world. I've seen some of my favorite animals. I mean, I work with chimpanzees right now. They're from Africa. I've never been to
Wow.
Africa, but now I could form a relationship with an animal from Africa because of a zoo. That's insane. That's
Yeah.
so cool. And like at Zoo Miami, I mean, you saw animals from all over the world that you probably didn't even know existed.
Didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
It's so funny, all of my life I've always wanted to see an elephant. Elephant growing up was my favorite
Oh,
animal, and
why?
I never. Why?
I have a hot take on elephants, but go
Elephants
ahead.
are, first of all, they're beautiful. They're enormous. They are just wild, but also, just awesome. I love their long trunks and
They're
everything, and
so
they're.
basic, man.
Shut up. You're a
It's
zookeeper, man. Nothing should be basic to you. All my
any
life, I've
animal that, like,
always,
dude, any animal that a 2-year-old can name is boring.
is boring. You're telling me elephants are boring? They're amazing. Maybe it's the Indian inside of me. No, I'm playing. That was a
Oh
joke. That was a joke. But
my
actually, though, it is so funny because I have never, prior to Zoo Miami as well, I had never witnessed an actual lion before. I
Ooh.
think I'd seen small tigers, but I'd never ever seen a lion. And I remember being at Zoo Miami and walking around by all of the animals. But when I got to the exhibit of the lion, something about that creature, that very beast that God created, caused me to stop in my steps and just to stare. I think I was there for about like an hour. I just couldn't leave. I would walk around to different angles, but something about the lion, there was about four of them, and they were doing nothing, by the way. They were just chilling.
Chilling, yeah.
But I was just so awestruck by this very, there's something about the lion. They say the lion's the king of the jungle. Maybe that's just folklore or something. The Bible describes the lion of Judah and
I
the
also have a
lion
hot take on
roars.
lions, but
I don't know, man. And what was so
I get
interesting
it though. Yeah,
too,
they're cool.
what was so interesting is that I saw the same thing happen with all of the public that was coming in as well. Everybody was just kind of wandering, walking slowly, moseying along, reading a few things here, looking at a few chimpanzees here. But when they got to the lion, something about the lion caused them to stop in their tracks. There was like this reverence. There was like this fear. Not a bad fear, but just
Yeah, but
this
just,
respect
yeah, in
of the
awe of them,
lion and
kind of
just
secretly,
in
yeah.
awe almost, And I was just so just. I'll never forget that. It was almost like a holy moment. I kind of felt like the Lord was just speaking to me in that moment, just looking at that lion. Apparently, you don't like them, but man, I was just
No,
blown
that's cool,
away.
man. And that's awesome to hear, because those are the moments us zookeepers love to hear, that like people are coming to the zoo that really want to see the animals and are taking the time, because we see a lot of kids just run past exhibits, but like, it's nice to see the guests that really look and they're like, whoa, like, this is something special to see an animal this close. And like, just like recently, I took my fiance to the zoo that I work at, and we were walking past the lion exhibit, and Kume, the male lion that I work with, or used to work with, I don't really work in that area anymore, he was roaring, and like, I didn't even flinch. I just kept walking. Like, yeah, I hear this every day. I used to work with him. So I just keep walking past, and she stops in her tracks and she looks at me, and her mouth is just like open, and her eyes like, whoa, what is that? Oh, that's a Kume. It's fine. She's like, I need to see him now. And she's never heard a lion roar before. And like, I always take those little things for granted as a zookeeper, because I hear that every day. I've been in buildings where Kume's yelling, and You just have to sit and wait to like finish your conversation because you can't hear. It just, he is loud. Like when that, his bellow was echoing off the walls, it like shakes your core. Like the first time I heard him roar indoors, it's like you can't hear yourself think, man. And I was shocked, like, dang, okay, I get it. Like the lions are cool, but then you just get used to it and they're in little,
Yeah, let me tell
hyenas are
you.
better, but it's cool to see how people just. Well, are still drawn to them and drawn to animals in general, and like I love hearing those stories
No,
that you said of people, yeah.
from an outside perspective, man, I know you're the zookeeper, and like, let me just tell you, the work you guys do and the things, the experience that you guys create, these are borderline holy moments for us, you know, coming in and experience it for the first time. Like
Oh,
you were
cool,
telling that
dude.
story of your fiance, it just, I'm telling you, these are moments that we're gonna remember. So like, I know what might be just ordinary to you guys, what you might just hear every day, what might even be sometimes annoying at times, it, you know, for somebody else, I guess, who's there for the first time, it is an experience they're gonna take away for the rest of their lives. So I want to encourage you with that.
Yeah, man. No, one of the my favorite things about being a zookeeper, which I'm gonna get into in another episode, but like I'll just touch on it real quick, is I love talking to guests as much like time as I can during the day while we're open. I will try to go out and like, because I work with the chimps every day, so I'll just go out and do like a life check on the animals and just check on the chimps how they're doing, and then I pick out anyone that's like actually looking at the chimps, and I'll just start a conversation and. It's so fun to me to like, 'cause I love sharing my passion and sharing what I'm excited about, which is what I do in the animals I work with. And people, they love it, man. Like, and it's a big takeaways. Like, I had a pastor friend of mine come to the zoo, and he brought his little girls, and like I was pointing out all the chimps and telling them their names and stuff, and they still like months later are asking about the chimps by name, and like it's just. It was so cool for them to like actually see the animal, but also learn something a little bit more deep and personal that makes them connect to it. And then one of the girls right now wants to be a zookeeper. Like, yes, let's go. But even just sharing names, is it like something cool? And like sharing ages. Ages and names are usually what people ask about the most. And then after that, it's some, I'll get some weird questions, but then some good questions too. So that's always fun of seeing what people think about the animals. I love doing that. It's so fun, man.
I'm curious, man, what are some of the weirdest questions you've gotten from a guest before? I know you've probably heard everything under the sun.
I mean, okay. Like some of the most typical ones are like, do you go in there with them when they're like pointed to a lion or the chimps most commonly? Like, no. Or they'll be like, oh, can I go in with the chimps? Not if you want to live. The chimps will kill you.
Are
I
chimps
had,
really deadly?
oh, 100%. They're the most dangerous animal in the zoo. 100%,
Really?
man. Oh my
Not the
gosh.
lion?
No, I would so much rather Cuma and Abina, both of our lions, getting out than one of our chimps. Because our
Wow.
girl.
Wait, how so? No, this is something I'm new. I'm literally learning right now. How are
Okay,
chimps
I love
dangerous?
this tangent.
Like, I've
Dude.
seen Planet of the Apes, but like,
Okay,
what?
so
Like,
that's pretty accurate.
are you for real?
They're extremely smart. And like they're way smarter than cats, man. Cats are just cats. Like you've touched cats before, you've seen cats inside. A cat inside is the same as a lion, just lions are bigger. They're not that bright. Same with dogs. Like I love dogs. They're smart, but they're not as smart as a chip.
My
So
dogs would be the one animal I don't like. So we've had this conversation before.
so you just take the intelligence of a chimp on top of, I think it's like a male chimp is like 3 or 4 times the strength of a male human,
Wow.
and then on top of that, like, and even like our female chimps are just so muscular. I know like our smallest chimp, who's like 54 years old, her she's 80 pounds, little Peggy, dude, I've seen it in her eyes, she will rip skin off of someone. She can turn it on, man, and
And they're
be really.
especially protective of their children, right?
Yeah, I mean, we don't really have any baby chimps, but they're just, they can, and chimps in nature too, which sometimes in the zoo you'll hear a bunch of screaming, like animal screaming, the chimps, and then people are running over the exhibit. What's happening? What's happening? And they're like, oh, are they going to be okay? Because the chimps are screaming at one another and whomping, and Kiki's throwing stuff at each other. And they're like, whoa, how often does this happen? This must like never happen. Like, oh, dude, this happens every day. Chimps are so dramatic. And in their society, they jump to violence so quick. So, like, where you go to different great apes, like, gorillas don't fight as much as chimps do. Bonobos very rarely fight. Orangutans are not, they're antisocial. And then chimps are so social that they just jump to violence so fast, where like someone could take a corn from somebody, and then now the person that stole corn lost an ear in a
Oh
fight.
my
And like
goodness.
it's I've seen some pretty nasty fights where digits of fingers and toes have been lost. And they're just extremely violent and very loud. And after working with them for over a year, I love them so much, but I have a very healthy fear of them. I am very scared of them,
Wow.
which you
I did
should be.
not realize that chimps are so when you say that they're smart, like let's just say theoretically they were to you know let's say they were to escape, and now they're like, let's say they're in like a warehouse right now, which is where I'm in right now. Like, could they be able to figure out how to like open doors?
Oh, 100%, dude. They open doors all the
Oh,
time.
man. So like
They're
you got.
always thinking, and they're primates. So you probably heard the phrase like monkey see, monkey do. Like that's very accurate though. All chimps have to do is see you do something once,
And
and
they'll
they can
know exactly
reciprocate
how
and
to do
do it
it.
again. And like we have some chimps that are very smart, and they're watching us put a lock in, and they're like, oh, so that's how you do a lock. And they're like, then they're moving with it and trying to finagle it. And like, you could see, we'll give them a new like enrichment device. Or like, we have a new chimp that was investigating the exhibit, and she took a stick of bamboo and she was stabbing a bunch of things, trying to figure out how things work. And they're just super smart and very curious and creative. And they problem solve. They at different task, or like for example, like we put some juice in a PVC tube, and then the animal has to work to get the juice out, and all our chimps kind of go at it at a different way, just like people. Like they don't come to the same conclusion for a problem. They're gonna think it through themselves and then figure out the best way that they can solve that problem. So they're very smart. I was actually just telling Mike though, like sometimes they surprise me how smart they are. But then, like, they'll do something that's extremely smart, like, oh my gosh. Or, like, Peggy will put on a t-shirt just like a person and put her arms through the
Wow.
sleeves. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then she'll turn around and, like, finger paint poop on the wall. Like, oh, they're still
She's still an
primates.
animal. Yep. Man, I did
But yeah.
not realize that chimps are like smart and dangerous and intelligent.
Yeah, I think so. The smartest animals are, I believe, orangutans, chimps, dolphins.
Yeah, I've heard that dolphins are smart, actually.
Spider monkeys,
The Miami Dolphins are not
pigs.
smart, though. I'm just kidding. That's a different story.
One last question that I want to ask you. I feel like maybe we already touched on it and stuff, but I do want to get what you think too of what does it mean for you when you go to a zoo? Like, is it just entertainment or is it something more?
Yeah, I mean, as a non, I wouldn't describe myself as an animal enthusiast, though I do appreciate animals. I wouldn't describe myself as a zoo enthusiast, though I do appreciate zoos. I'll be very honest that the first letter of that ECER entertainment, I think that is something important to me, because it's like I don't want to just go and just kind of be bored out and everything. So it's like, yeah, it sounds kind of selfish, but I think that first letter is very important, because that's what causes people to come. That's what causes people to pay. There's economy and finances, and all that money goes towards the zoo. So yeah, like when I'm going there, that one of my primary things I'm looking for is like, is this going to be a fun time? I love coordinating things with friends and going to stuff together, and like, hey, let's go to the Zoo Miami. I've been to it before. It's really awesome. So that's a kind of a selling point. It's like, hey, like it's really fun and really entertaining and just a great place to hang out. So yeah, that's my primary thing. But no, I'll be honest with you, deep down, I'm thinking about this is God's creation. I'm thinking about God made these things, and I'm going into a world. It's zoos are kind of like a world of their own. Like zoos are like they really are. Like you just feel like you've left the city and you're into a whole new world. I'm going into this world where these animals are being maintained and are being preserved and are being they're held in a captivity, but in appropriate captivity to where they can be kept safe and they can be kept away from extinction ultimately, and in a place where we can learn so much about them, we can continue to educate ourselves and do research and learn more about the creation that God made. And it's so funny that our world is how many thousand years old, like millions of years old, who knows?
That's a
And we're
whole other
that's a whole other
conversation,
topic,
though, and
and we're
debate, but yeah.
still learning about animals. We're still learning about the orangutan and all its intelligence. We're
It's
still
pronounced orangutan. Sorry, I have to be that
orangutan.
guy. Yeah, orangutan. There's no G at the end.
How do you say it?
Orangutan. There's no G at the end.
Orangutan,
Yeah, sorry, I have to
not
be that guy. Just so
orangutan.
everyone knows, there is
Wow, I
no
didn't know
G
that.
at the end
I've
of
always heard it say
orangutan.
orangutan,
I
like
know.
tang.
Yep, I know.
Wow,
There's no G.
orangutan.
Yeah.
We're still learning about the orangutan. We're still learning about the lion and about the dolphins and about all the intelligence and all the amphibians out there. There's so much research. There's so much more to discover about this world. And I think that could be said for other things too. That could be said for, geology and other, other areas of just, natural science. But I think there's something special about the living creatures, of the world that God created. But the Lord said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I believe that the animals, in many senses, even though they don't realize it, are echoing God's creation and God's praises. So yeah, when I go to zoos, I'm thinking about just the very weight of the fact that this is something that God made. This isn't man-made. Other things that we go and we look at, we go to an art exhibit. Miami's big in art and
Oh,
culture,
sure, dude. Yeah.
and it's really cool. I love going out there. I love seeing this. But at the end of the day, it's man-made, I think there's divinity in creativity, and I think there's reflections of God's creation in a man-made art. But at the end of the day, it's man-made. Man, you go to a zoo, you go see that lion with your own two eyes. It's like, no, man didn't make this. Maybe we created the environment, we created the systems and the accountability to maintain the creature and maintain its longevity and its preservation. But at the end of the day, the creature itself, no, that was all God. We can't
Yeah,
take
man.
credit for that.
Yeah. No, that's a good answer, dude. And yet, for me, it's like the curiosity of myself drove me to love zoos. It drove me to go to every zoo I could, every vacation. My parents took us to, like, I wanted to go to a zoo. I wanted to see the animals because I was curious. And, like, then I would dive in and I was reading encyclopedias and I was diving into all these amazing animals. And then, like, connecting that to my faith, like, it's God is amazing and it's just insane. Like it isn't just 10 animals that he made millions, and they're like each of them are so specific to their niche. And that's something for just the zoologist in me that gets me excited, and something I love to see, like zoos and see exhibits of, like, okay, going to a zoo, like, I'm gonna see this animal that I've only seen at one other zoo. I'm gonna go to this zoo and I'm hoping to see it do some sort of behavior that I haven't seen it before. Because to me, that's cute. That excites me. That's that curiosity of, like, what has God put in this animal that it can do that I haven't seen before? Because it's, I mean, there was some craziness out there in the animal kingdom. Because we have an amazing designer, and, like, he also has some humor in him. Like, there are some animals that are just there's. I have so many questions. Like, for example, like the I don't know if it's a lemur with a very long middle finger.
Oh, wow.
Like, I'm so curious. Like, God has humor. But it
No,
also
he.
it serves a purpose. So it uses that really long middle finger to
It's like
get
waving at
grubs.
you. It's like, wait,
I
hold
know,
up.
that's just but it uses that finger to grab grubs in a hard to place things in trees and stuff. And like, so everything has a purpose. And there are some really ugly animals out there that just make me laugh, but also some really cute animals. And just everything is so specific from the creator. And it just makes me fall in love with them even more. And something I'm doing a whole episode on just the honor that I feel as a zookeeper working with creation and just how that is inspired and like just fell me like got me deeper into my relationship with the Lord because I got to see as a zookeeper, I feel like I get a window into animals that not everyone gets to see. And that just amazed me that like I get to work with, for example, like colobus monkeys was the first thing that like I felt this like whoa moment that like working with the monkeys, almost like I grew up like, oh, monkeys are monkeys. They're fine. They just do their thing. Then as a zookeeper, you get to work with them every single day and you get to see their differences, their personalities, their likes and dislikes. And you're like, oh, like there is a whole, like, there is a whole brain in there working. Every monkey is different. Everything's working differently. We have an amazing creator that even takes the time to create, like, a primate monkey that like is almost an individual by itself that has such a personality that's like, how is he taking the time? That's insane. And it's just
Right.
like, it's so cool, man. So cool. And he does it for our enjoyment, which is the amazing thing. Like it's just making me love him even more because I'm like, he put that passion and curiosity in me for creation and for animals. I'm like, dude, what's heaven gonna look like? Like, what animals do you have up there that's gonna like, man, I want to be a zookeeper up in heaven. It's gonna be sick.
I think if anyone's listening right now and they're thinking like, okay, all this is great, but why should I go to the zoo? Why should I take the time? Why should I, go out there by myself or with a friend or with my family? Why should I pay the admission? What it's the animal, like, what does that do for me? What is that? And I think, Tyler, you hit on it, is like, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, like, you ought to have some curiosity and some ambition and drive to see and witness God's creation. If you're in love with the Lord and you honor him and all that he is, then you have to go and witness what he created. I like, yes, man is created in God's image, and yes, man is the apple of God's creation, like, but if there's more out there, why not go and see what God has made and learn something from that? Learn what, all the different species and even some takeaways on how you can apply that into your life. Just learning just all the different, habits and the behaviors of animals, why they do things the way they do. I think it's really interesting. I think it's really ordained by our creator, like you said.
Yeah, I echo that, man. Any Christian should enjoy going to the zoo and like, yeah, you're looking at creation that our creator made and it's insane and it's awesome. But and also in the practical sense too, like zoos, like the money that you're giving to that institution, it isn't just going to a business. Like you are funding an organization that's actually putting like money towards conservation efforts on the ground. They're putting money towards taking care of the animals. So your little $20 or whatever is actually going to feed a lion and it's really helping the zoo. And so you're really helping the zoo when you go, but that's also why I'll kind of circle back to when you do decide to go to a zoo, just do a little research too of making sure is it in an accredited institution? Because it is a business at the end of the day too. So you want to make sure you're giving your money to an appropriate business that is actually not just doing it to make money, but is also having animals for a purpose. And that's I can stand by AZA and ZAA zoos that they do it for the right reasons. And still, there's not every zoo does, and there's other overseas zoos is a whole different story. But there's other governing bodies for those too. But yeah, man, I think I touched on everything that I wanted to talk to you about today. I loved our conversation, man. Do you have anything else you'd like to add or anything?
I'm just grateful for just the opportunity to get on the show and talk to you about zoos. And even this episode and just recording this has given me more of a drive to go and even visit some other zoos down here in Florida and go bring my friends along and tell them about zoos. And ultimately,
Dude,
we're telling them about God's creation.
come to Michigan and come to my zoo, and I want to give you a personal tour.
I would love that. Right here on air, I hereby accept that offer. And
Sick,
one of these
bro.
days, I don't know when it's going to happen, but one of these days, we're going to make that happen. And if you ever come down here to Miami, you better believe we're going to go visit Miami Zoo together. Zoo
All right,
Miami.
cool, dude. That'd be fun. All right, y'all. That is a wrap for episode 3. Next episode is going to be me and my brother just talking about being a Christian in the workplace and what that looks like. So I hope you guys enjoyed today's conversation. And like always, if you have any questions, email me at christianzookeeper@gmail.com. And yeah, that's a wrap. Yeah, have an awesome week, guys. Peace.